Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com today.
All right, everybody, he's Sam McEwen, I'm Ben Doody. It's a special edition of Behind the Ballot from the World Herald and Omaha.com. Live, Sam, in the studio.
Wow.
Good to be here. How are you, man?
It's good to be here, too. Happy New Year, everybody. It's officially basketball season. Nebraska's football season is over. So now we shift all of our focus to the major college basketball teams in the state. There are six, and two of them happen to be pretty darn good right now. And one of them's really good. That'd be the men's team.
That's a good jumping off point, Sam. To talk about a theme, we talk about Sam's AP women's basketball ballot. We also talk about the men's poll, where the Husker men's and women's teams shake out. And, you know, a theme that keeps being on my mind, Sam, is a little bit of divergence this week between the men's team and the women's team.
For sure.
We recorded in late December a Storylines of the Year podcast in the Pick 6 feed. And at the time, it's, hey, Nebraska has two undefeated basketball teams, both climbing in the polls. This past week, the men jump up from 13 to 10. We can get into that on the specifics. Yeah. The women drop down. They lose to USC and Iowa. They drop to 25, and they drop out of your ballot completely. Tell us why.
Well, I think there's a lot of really, really good teams. What starts to happen in women's basketball in particular is there might be 20 games in non-conference play that kind of help you shape things, but there's so many undefeated and one-loss teams that you learn a lot more in the first 2 weeks of conference play. So Nebraska was in its first week of conference play. It lost both of the games against ranked team to USC, which I don't know how good USC is going to be. And then they also lost to Iowa at Iowa. There are other teams that I just moved up. West Virginia has sort of shaken off some of their early season losses. I moved them into the poll. Washington beat Michigan. That's better than any win that Nebraska has by some margin. Illinois shot up in my poll after beating Maryland. They lost to Michigan State, but they beat Maryland and they beat Mississippi. And Michigan State has shot up because they've been very, very effective as well. And so these are teams that were below Nebraska that have now moved back into the poll. Baylor moved way up after its win over Iowa State, which was previously undefeated. And so there's just going to be a lot of shifting. And Nebraska's probably right on the cusp. They're probably 27, 28. I have Arizona State right around that area and a few other teams. But Nebraska's in that group for sure. But I'm comfortable with them not being in the poll this week for me.
Nebraska, for my listeners, back east, Nebraska is in the same bucket as Fairfield.
That's
in
right.
That 20s. Same bucket as the Stags. I'll do most of that on my own time, but now they're creeping into my new world here, Sam, with an excellent women's basketball team. I want to ask you about Indiana, women and men. A lot of red here. A lot of red. Nebraska, Indiana, they play coming up in women's hoop in men's hoop, women's game here in Lincoln, PBA. And the men's game in Bloomington, which is going to be, almost as much of a must-watch men's college basketball game in January as you could have. Let's start the women's game, though. What do you expect? Nebraska, Indiana, and then what does Nebraska have to do to get back into your top 25?
So Nebraska plays Indiana first. Indiana is winless in the Big Ten. They've played good teams up to this point, including Illinois and Michigan State. Indiana is coming off its best four-year run in history. They are rebuilding. So they lost a lot of really, really good players that they had over the previous years. I think they've won 9 of the last 10 against Nebraska, but I think Nebraska will win this game. Their best player is previously played at Penn State, Shay Sielski. She might end up being the leading scorer in the Big Ten, but that's because they don't have a lot of help for her. So I do think Nebraska will win this game. On the men's side, I have not watched a ton of Indiana basketball. I've watched a lot of other teams in the Big Ten. I was talking to Wilson Moore, a beat writer, about this. I haven't watched a lot of IU. They've been competitive in a lot of games this year. They don't necessarily have a lot of big wins. And here's the other thing. Nebraska's won 4 straight against the Hoosiers, including 1 in Assembly Hall. And so they're not overly intimidated by that environment. It's a very cool arena architecturally. I don't know that I would describe it as the most difficult home court advantage because there's virtually no fans on the ends. They all go straight up on both sides. And I've never seen actual game in there, but when Indiana and Nebraska played football many years ago, I kind of walked to kind of look through the arena back in, I think it was 2016. And so, like, it's architecturally not – it's cool, but I wouldn't describe it as the hardest place to play. And quite frankly, I just think Nebraska's a better team. That said, Darren DeVries is Indiana's coach, and when he was the assistant at Creighton – and Tom Chattel wrote about this a little bit in his three takes after Nebraska's win over Ohio State – he put a lot of energy into Creighton beating Nebraska. And at the time that he put that energy in, let's be clear, Creighton was already better than Nebraska, but he put a ton of energy into it. And he was the guy that kind of got Creighton really invested in beating Nebraska every year, and now he's at Indiana. And IU will be ready. And it is a different kind of team than IU had under Mike Woodson. They're physical. They're going to play a little bit slower tempo. You're going to see some of the things that Nebraska does well, also done by Indiana. I wouldn't surprise me if it were a game in the 60s and it came down to the last minute.
If you've already seen this, then you can opt out of this question. What do you think is the KenPom projected score of this game?
72-69 Indiana.
That's pretty close. Sam is good at these. You can't. It's hard to get a fastball by him. 75-74. That gives Nebraska a 44% chance to win.
Yeah.
KenPom, I mentioned this, by the way, check out my post-game pint beer reviews. We're going to do them every Nebraska game unless something crazy happens, but I'll put myself on the hook for that. I mentioned this. Nebraska was KenPom underdog at Ohio State.
They were.
They pull it out.
Yeah.
Nebraska is not a KenPom underdog again, at least as it stands now, until Michigan.
And which so they should be.
One of the things that I'm working through, and I'll tee this up for you, let's say Nebraska does beat Indiana. They get to 16-0. Next up, Oregon, Northwestern, Washington.
Minnesota.
Oregon at home, at Northwestern, home to Washington, and at Minnesota. January 27th, they play Michigan. They will be a big, big underdog in that game. If they win on Saturday, Sam, are they 20-0 heading into Ann Arbor on January 27th?
Yes. I think they're 20-0, and I think Michigan's undefeated too.
Can you listen to that for a second? If you're a Husker basketball fan, there's a close to a 50-50 proposition if you look at the analytics models.
No question.
You're going to be home to a 20-0 basketball team. Now, Michigan is, quite a bit better on paper, but you're also undefeated, okay? And so, you know, some of what we do here is sometimes ratchet up these expectations and I'm actually okay with the Husker fan being very happy with one tournament win, at least for now, because you've never done it before.
Right.
And also because if you're a 2 or 3 seed, I'm not trying to lower the expectations too much, but if you're a 2 seed in the tournament and you lose to a good 7 seed in the round of 32, there's no huge shame in that. Okay?
No.
There's no huge shame in it. But I also think that if you're saying what's kind of the modal outcome, what do I think is the most likely outcome? You have to say, check me on this, you have to say the most likely outcome right now is that this is a Sweet 16 or better team.
Provided that they get a high enough seed that the team that they play in the first round is not something that their mental block will have a hurdle on. I know I just mixed metaphors there, but Nebraska needs to get a high enough seed so that when they go to that first round game, it's not a 7-10 game. And they're playing a team that can beat them because I think the mental hurdle at this point is pretty high. Of winning a game in the NCAA tournament. So
let me check in that. You think Rank Mask and guys like this care what happened and that they lost to UConn in 1992?
I think they all feel it, yeah. I think they feel it. I think when they get to that point, they will feel it, yeah.
Why do you think that is?
Because they dealt with it a couple years ago when they played Texas A&M.
Because we keep asking them about it? I mean, do they know this stuff independently?
They know it, absolutely. They all know that Nebraska's never done it. And I think it will be challenging. And I know that people hearing that may be offended by what I'm saying. But as somebody who has been around this program for a really long time and has seen what happens when good Nebraska teams get in those situations, they just have very rarely in all of the games that Nebraska's been in the NCAA tournament, and there haven't been that many. But the one time that it looked like they were actually going to do it is when they were an 11 seed. And Teron Liu is the point guard, and they had about a 9-point lead over Arkansas late in the second half, and Arkansas goes to zone, and Nebraska loses. Every other game that they have played in the NCAA tournament, they've kind of been out of it by halftime. The Xavier game, not quite as much back in 91 when they were a three seed. That was a back and forth game. But a lot of these other games, when they played UConn in 92, UConn was like preseason number two in the country. And then they kind of had a disappointing season. And then they are like the 8 or 9 seed in the NCAA tournament. And they blew Nebraska out. I mean, it wasn't even close. And they played New Mexico State, and they lost by 15. They played Pennsylvania, and everybody thought, and Pennsylvania came out and hit all kinds of shots early in the game, in Long Island, of all places. So, like, again, Nebraska has struggled in this environment. Now, if they get up to that 3 or 4 line, Ben, they're going to play a team they can beat and that they should beat by 20, and I think they will. And if they get over that hurdle, if they get over the hurdle, they could go a long, long way. They could go all the way to the Final Four. I don't think that I would predict that, because I think that the top 5 or 6 teams in college basketball are really good, but it's possible. So I would say, yes, if they win that first game, Sweet 16 is a minimum expectation. And then if they got the right draw and somehow a team like Gonzaga lost, you know, a number one seed fell apart somehow and lost a game they shouldn't have lost, then I do not put the Final Four out of reach. I don't.
One of the reasons Sam is the best sports writer in the country, everybody, is the guy rolls out of bed. This game against UConn, which I do remember as a kid growing up a UConn fan.
Yeah.
This game happened almost 34 years ago, and Sam just rolls out of bed and tells you exactly what happened.
Chris Smith and Daniel Marshall, right?
100%. Chris Smith, the leading scorer in UConn basketball history, which is a trivia question for you.
Yeah.
It's an 8-9 game. You remember where it was?
Oh, I think it was on the East Coast somewhere.
It may have been in the East Coast of the
Cincinnati.
It was in Cincinnati, the Riverfront Coliseum.
That's right.
I don't know if it was in the East or West Coast of the River, but it's the Riverfront Coliseum in Cincinnati, an 8-9 game. UConn 86, Nebraska 65.
It wasn't close. So here are the top 4 teams right now. If you were going to say the number one seeds in the NCAA tournament are Arizona, Michigan, Iowa State, and UConn. There's going to be some debate between UConn and Purdue, but personally, I don't think there's much of one right now. I think UConn would be the number one seed. Then you have the number two seeds, which would be Purdue, Duke, Houston, and Gonzaga. And then BYU, the team that Nebraska beat in the exhibition play, is right there as well at 13-1. Now, just from my perspective, I think Nebraska could take BYU to the wire. I think Gonzaga would be tough. I think Houston would be tough. I think they could beat Duke because Duke is mercurial because they're run by freshmen. Purdue, we'll see. They match up pretty well with Purdue, but we'll see. UConn, probably not. Iowa State, unlikely. Michigan, not at this time. And Arizona, I don't know that much about Arizona. They're obviously the number one team in the country. I don't know how they're number one ahead of Michigan, but they are. And, you know, so I think there's a lot of teams above Nebraska that would be hard to beat if they had to get to the Final Four. But if somebody, like, let's say Purdue chokes, because Purdue chokes every other year in the NCAA tournament, and all of a sudden you're playing, I don't know, North Carolina. Well, they can beat North Carolina.
Oh, they sure can.
They can beat Georgia. They can beat Arkansas. So, like, that's what you need, is you need an upset somewhere in there, team you can beat.
I want to do a quick plug for our coverage. Wilson Moore will be on the road all the way to Bloomington. All the way to Bloomington, Indiana. You can get all your coverage, omaha.com. I keep telling people you have to subscribe to the paper if you don't already. I hope you're listening to this outside the paywall somewhere or inside it. But if you're not already a subscriber, omaha.com/subscribe. You've got to get yourself a subscription. I'm a little bit biased, Sam. I don't think you can consume this joyride of a basketball season without being a World Herald subscriber. So Reed Wilson, Tom Chattel's all over it, read his takes and enjoyed them after the Ohio State win. Obviously, you get Sam, even occasionally get me here and there writing basketball. Meanwhile, ESPN's Bracketology, which dropped this morning, follows up what you and Wilson and I talked about a few weeks ago, which is we're going to Oklahoma City.
That'd be great.
This would be Nebraska on the 3 line against Wright State as a 14.
See?
And OKC.
Wright State.
And then you get Virginia, Baylor, or this, I don't know if you've looked at this bracket. This is going to lead me right into another thing, and we'll get you out of here pretty soon.
No.
Virginia is a 6, the 11 is a first 4 winner, Baylor, or Oklahoma.
Yeah, Oklahoma.
And I mentioned this.
How do they get there? What are they at, 11?
They're in 11.
Okay.
What I like is I like, again, I should, Ken Pomeroy, if you're listening to this,
they you just
should,
randomly you should, threw Oklahoma in the town where they'd have all the fans.
That would That's be hard. Fair. So, but I was going to say, Ken Pom should be a paid advertiser on this show because I keep on shouting him out. He doesn't need any more publicity. But I like the tears of joy. Tears of joy.
Oh, yeah. I like
is
that.
A metric that shows cool. you the quality of the opponent crossed with the venue. And what I liked about this, I learned this late last night. I couldn't sleep. I'm out messing around with Ken Pom. A tier A win, top tier relative to opponent and location. Nebraska. Heading into the Illinois game, had zero Tier A games. They now have four. The four are Illinois, Michigan State, Ohio State, and now Oklahoma retroactively. Yeah. Why? Because Oklahoma moves into the KenPom top 50. Mm-hmm. They're now number 48. They've won five straight, and they look like a tournament team, maybe gaining some steam. I don't think you want to see them in the in OKC as an 11 seed, that feels dangerous. But
I don't think you do either. And I think they're going to be a gift that keeps on giving. And I'm telling you, K-State may not make the NCAA tournament, but they're going to knock off two or three good teams in the Big 12. That's going to happen to help Nebraska's resume. I don't know which teams K-State's going to knock off, but you know they'll beat somebody. And they'll be like NIT bubble, but they'll help Nebraska's resume. Nebraska's resume is incredible. I mean, it's an outstanding resume. There's no other way to put it. And it's going to get even better. They're going to play more games that help them out as the season goes on. It's a pretty sweet deal.
We'll do one women's basketball minute, and then we'll do a quick Creighton minute, and then we'll get you out of here.
Creighton. All right.
Just a quick one. All just right. a quick one.
That's fine.
And you heard them? You remember these guys, Creighton? We still do the
– Oh, yeah.
I think we still cover them.
They got screwed on Sunday is what happened.
We could do a whole podcast on that
we could.
Game. And I'm telling you, I said to Sam, I follow UConn closely. UConn has not won in that building since 2021. Mm. And it's not because it's a hard place to play, but there's something kind of funky and weird about that Seton Hall team that's just trips up big teams. But
no question.
Women's basketball minute. Bracketology right now does have the aforementioned Fairfield Stags playing Nebraska in a 7-10 game in the first round. You think Nebraska women will be higher or lower or the same than a 7 seed in the NC2A?
Candidly, right now, I think they might be a little lower. I think they're going to beat Indiana, and then they have UCLA. And I'm going to have to see them beat a team that's as good as they are, a little bit better. And right now, I don't know that I see that game.
Lower meaning worse, meaning an 8-9 kind of thing. Gotcha.
You know, I think they could be an 8-9-10. The way that I've kind of framed it up is if they go 2-4, or I guess, 2-3 in this little stretch, they're going to play UCLA on Sunday. If they beat UCLA, obviously they're back in business. But I think it's going to be challenging. It's a really hard schedule. They're going to play a ton of good teams. They don't necessarily play all those teams at home. And they, in my opinion, they got the two harder opponents. They got the tougher deal where they got to play Oregon and Washington out there. And they bring USC and UCLA to Lincoln, and both those teams, I mean, USC's already beaten them, and now UCLA's coming in, and UCLA is the best team Nebraska will place all year. So it's challenging. I think right now, if you were asking me, I would say they're 9-9, 8-10 in the Big Ten, and they're right on the old bubble. But maybe they'll show me something and impress me. But they've got to find a way to win a game that they weren't expected to win.
Nebraska men better or worse than a 3 seed?
The same.
Push. He goes with
the
push.
I feel really good. Feels there. Good. That's going to last. Yeah.
I would probably concur. Look, just a fair warning. The schedule's hard. This team could lose a few games in a row at some point because you get into late January into February. Michigan, Illinois, Purdue is looming. Iowa is you're an underdog at Iowa via KenPom projections. So, you know, I don't think you should expect this team to be a 2 or 3 loss team. I think, you know, 4-ish losses is probably about where you are, maybe a smidge more than that. But it sure is going to be interesting. Again, at Indiana on Saturday, and I've got some youth basketball challenges schedule-wise, but I'm going to have to find, you know, have my phone on.
So you play 31 regular season games. If they're 27-4, they're a 2-line, 2-3 line. That's
where 2 to 3. Yep.
And they'll be in great shape there. So like anything that's above a 5, and I think you're in really good shape. You get down below a 5, and you're starting to play teams that are basically like you. And you know, NC State got to the Final Four a couple years ago as an 11. You're just playing a bunch of teams that are very, very similar, and those are total toss-ups. 3-14 is not a toss-up. You know, if you're a 3, you should beat a 14. Now, the one time Nebraska's a 3, they lose to Xavier, but, you know.
We're going to put something like this in our package here. We're going to tee up something that documents exactly what Sam's talking about, which is how your win probability increases as you get up, up, up on the seeding chart. Okay, last one. The Creighton men's basketball team as an NCAA tournament possibility. Yeah. How do you assess the Jays' chances?
I thought if they'd beaten Seton Hall on Sunday, they'd be pretty good right now. Right now, they're next four, last four out. I think they're probably going to be on the bubble all the way through. So they play at Villanova tomorrow night. We're recording this on a Tuesday. That would be a quad one win, and then they're playing St. John's at home on Saturday. That is technically a quad two game right now because St. John's is 34 NET. I think that if they win both those games, they're on the right side of it. If they lose both games, they're definitively on the wrong side of it. If they split those games, they're right where they're at. And then you've got another week or two where you're going to have some really big games. So, like, that's where it's at. This is going to be a team that's kind of bouncing on the bubble. The interesting thing about this team is if they can really figure themselves out over the next 2 months, they could go into the NCAA tournament as an 11 or as a 10.
And beat Nebraska in the first round.
And make some noise. They could be dangerous to somebody. The reality is they haven't quite figured it out yet. And maybe they won't figure it out. But if they ever figure out the chemistry and, like, everybody's hitting on same cylinders at the same time, this is a good basketball team. It's not great. It's not Baylor Shireman 2 years ago, but it's good.
If you're a Nebraska fan, and it would be one of the most depressing moments of your life to lose to Creighton in the NCAA tournament this year, then get up to the 5 line or better, and Creighton won't be able to find you. If you're at the 6 or 7 line, at the 6-11 is where it would happen.
It would.
Creighton sneaks in, Nebraska drops back, and away you go.
They wouldn't do that to Nebraska, I don't think. I don't think they'd do
that. I think Nebraska would win that game.
Oh, I do too.
But you don't know.
If you're telling me they're going to play Creighton as a 6-11, I'll take Nebraska. I'm not. It's more that unknown team that's really athletic that suddenly, you know, like, for example, Ben, Ohio State's about an 11 seed. But maybe they're a 10. They almost won that game, you know, because they got some dudes. Same kind of thing here. Like, if that's about what Ohio State is, granted they were playing at home, but, like, that's what I'm talking about. Go play an athletic team that can rebound, and maybe they don't shoot that well, but they're good inside the two range. That's a team Nebraska doesn't want to play. That's what they got in A&M a couple years ago. And then you get those in 8-9, 7-10 matchups. You get teams like that.
We're going to have all this stuff and more all the time, all the rest of the way. Again, if you are just hopping on the basketball bandwagon, welcome. Welcome to the World Herald Hoops bandwagon, omaha.com/subscribe. Sam and I do Behind the Ballot once a week, sometimes even more as a bonus episode.
Maybe.
Pick Six Pod. All of that stuff. Sam, what else do you want to plug?
No, I think we're doing good coverage. John Walker's covering Creighton. Wilson Moore's covering Nebraska. Wilson's going to be at the Indiana game. And the way that the schedule lines up, you know, there's some other drivable games. So I think we're going to be in pretty good shape. Tom Chattel writes great columns. We've got the historical perspective. So we got a column coming from Tom later this week that's going to provide some context for what Nebraska is and maybe where it can go and the kind of program it can model itself after. And it's the kind of thing that only Tom can write because he's the one who's seen all of this for decades.
He's the absolute man. Okay,
yeah.
He's Sam. I'm Ben. It is Behind the Ballot. We'll see you next week.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com today.